Welcome to the SYA podcast, giving you teachings from the young adult ministry of Shepherd Church, where it's our mission to lift up Christ that the world might believe. We have different gatherings throughout the month. For more info, go to wearesya.com and follow us on Instagram at wearesya.
We're in a series called Deep Waters. Everyone say Deep Waters. And Pastor Dudley, he chose this series because he wants to show us moments in the Bible where the central theme of the story is faith, but there's also an element of water. And in every sermon of this series, we're going to be opening up the Word of God, and we're going to see how faith and water somehow intertwine for the glory of God. But before we begin, I'd like to ask one question. Can I do that with you? If you had one day to live, how would you live it? If you had one day to live, how would you live it? And the majority of us will never know how long we have, right? And most of us, I think we pray for 80 strong years. Who wants to be 100? Raise your hand if you want to be 100. You're crazy. I don't want to be 100. Just kidding. But we don't know how much longer we have, amen? Only our Heavenly Father knows that. But if you only had one day to live, how would you live it? If all you were guaranteed was 24 hours, what would you do with it? Really quickly, how many of you would go to a place you've never been before? Raise your hand if that's you. Would any of you just go? Just book it. I really want to go to the Niagara Falls. On my last day, I don't know if I could do that. I spend too much time on the airplane. I don't know if I could do that. How many of you would grab all the money out of your bank account and go on a shopping spree? Any one of you would do that? Raise your hand. Don't be, you know, it's okay, be proud. I asked my wife that. That's exactly what she said. I'd take all the money out of our bank account and I'd go spend it. I'm like, all right, girl, you know I love you. Just leave me broke, huh? How many of you would buy the best food that money could buy? You just send it just for that last meal, okay? How many of you would be way too depressed to leave your house? Raise your hand if that's you. Just one person, that's okay. If I had it my way, I think what I would do is I'd have all my family come together and I'd have a couple friends and I'd have my mom make her homemade spaghetti and I'd have my dad bring some Cuban bread and we'd just sit around the table and we'd reflect on good stories and good memories and I think that'd be a beautiful way to end the story. But I feel like we can go on and on for hours asking each other, what would you do with the little time that you had left? And what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you what Jesus chooses to do with his last day here on earth. And so we're gonna be reading in John chapter 13. Everyone say John 13. We're gonna be reading out of John 13. And I want you to know that as we read this story, in less than 12 hours, Jesus is going to be hanging on a cross. And if you were to trade places with Jesus, and if you knew that that was your outcome, if you knew that is what would eventually happen to you, I guarantee you, you would have run away. You would have made sure you chose another destiny. You would have packed your bags. You would have dipped. You would have made sure you left when no one was watching. But thank God Jesus didn't choose that, right? Thank God that he chose what God had for every single one of us. Instead, Jesus chooses to host a dinner with his best friends, his disciples. And as we get ready to read verse 1, I want us to know that this story is filled with layers. Everyone say layers. It's like an ogre. The story is filled with layers. You hear that in the Shrek movie. It took a while to get there, I think. Every verse is rich in this story. Every verse has meaning. Every verse will show you the character of Jesus. And this ogre of a story, these layers tell the story, but also paint the picture of why we should trust in Jesus. And so as we unpack this story, I have one thing for you. If you forget anything that I tell you today, do not forget this. Jesus practices what he preaches. And so what I'd like to do now is read the very first verse of John chapter 13. And it says this, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet and drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And all God's people said, amen. And in those first five verses, I see so much. And the first thing I notice is that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And I say that because he knew that his hour had come. He knew that it was time for him to return back to the Father. He knew that the Father had put all things under his control. He knew Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knows all things. Jesus is in control always. Jesus is never surprised about anything, and he's never put in a position where he feels compromised. And that is not only true about this story, but this is true about the story of your life too. And I also see that in the middle of this meal, Jesus does something that catches everyone's attention. And remember, there's a celebration going on, and I imagine that there's great food at the table. I think Jesus is the one that prepared the meal. I can't wait to taste whatever he has in store for me up there in heaven. I like to joke with my vegan friends that Jesus is gonna make them a nice juicy burger and they gotta eat it with me. Sorry, Jaslyn. Okay. I imagine there's great food at the table. I imagine there's great conversations going on. People are enjoying themselves. And then the text says this, that Jesus got up from the meal and took out his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And as we're reading this story, we have to remember that we're reading with eyes from a different culture. And so to us, this doesn't really stand out. To us, this is just like, okay, whatever. But to his friends, they would have been left in shock. Why? Because this was the posture of a slave. And oftentimes, slaves in Jesus' time were actually servants who worked in the house or worked to serve whatever business the homeowner had. And usually, at important meals like this, the servants would come and help clean the feet of the host and the guests before the dinner would even start. And in these times, the guests and the host would never be the ones to wash other people's feet. That role was always taken up by the servant. And some scholars even say that a Jewish servant wasn't allowed, if a Jewish servant was never allowed to wash another Jewish man's feet. And so hosts wouldn't wash feet. Jewish servants wouldn't wash another Jewish man's feet. But I have two questions. Who is the host of this meal? Who's the host? It's not that hard. Jesus, very good, very good. Maybe I could be a teacher. Who's the host? And is Jesus Jewish? He is. Doesn't make sense. And again, I imagine this scene might have been a little weird to everybody. And I'm sure they're all thinking, what is he doing? Why is he putting a towel around his waist? Why is he getting on his knees? And I don't know how you feel about feet. If you hate feet, I get it. If you like feet, don't tell me, okay? But to the people in this culture, feet were gross. Feet were disgusting. Feet were the dirtiest part of your body. These people walked around in Birkenstocks and Crocs all day long. And they walked for miles in the dirt. And sometimes their feet were cut up, and sometimes their feet were bruised and worn down. And so their feet was nothing to be proud of. And yet the man that they call Lord, is willing to fall to his knees. The hands of a holy God is willing to touch their unclean feet. The king and the ruler of the universe is willing to become a servant and a slave to his disciples. But why would Jesus do this? When you read this story, you think, why would Jesus do this? Why would he do something his disciples clearly didn't deserve? Why would he lower himself to this point? And I believe this leads us to our first layer of our ogre story. And layer one is this: Jesus loves you. I know it's simple. I know it's elementary, but Jesus loves you. Jesus loves every single one of you, and Jesus loves his friends and his disciples. And I believe only love could explain this decision from Jesus. Because yes, this was a Jewish custom. This is what they had to practice. This is what they had to do. But also, this is a picture of Jesus's love. Jesus loves you. And no host would do this for their guests. No rabbi would do this for their students. No king would do this for his people. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, got on two knees and washed their feet. And this makes me echo what I told you before. Jesus practices what he practices what he preaches. And in Matthew 10:24, it says this. It says, this is the words of Jesus to his disciples. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. And in Matthew 20:28, my wife has this tattooed. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I bet you Jesus remembered the words he told his friends. He embodies what he preaches. And Jesus loved his disciples. And he didn't love them because they were perfect. He didn't love them because they were wise. He didn't love them because they produced good works. No, he loved them because he chose them. And friends, I want you to know that Jesus has also chosen you. And because of this sacrificial love, I believe the next layer of our story is this. We should want to have a relationship with Jesus. And so if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I urge that you do. Me personally, it's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to my life. And I say that because his commitment to his friends should show you how far he's willing to go for you. And this foot washing is a symbol of many things when it comes to the type of friend that Jesus is. Can I tell you a couple? Jesus is willing to get his hands dirty for you. Jesus is willing to get into your mess. Jesus is willing to touch the most broken, most ashamed part of you. And what I love about Jesus is that our flaws don't push Jesus away. Last night, we had our D group students, we had our high schoolers and our middle schoolers. I was talking to a high schooler, and my heart hurt for her because she had did something she knew was wrong. And I asked her, is Jesus still with you? And she says, no. And I reminded her, that is not the truth. Because your flaws don't push Jesus away. Your insecurities don't push Jesus away. Your doubt doesn't push Jesus away. And your sin doesn't push Jesus away. Can I get an amen? Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants a deeper friendship. And he's willing to do anything to show you that. Jesus wants to be your friend. But will you allow him to? And it's funny because there's two characters in this story who are flawed and give Jesus a hard time, and yet he still wants to be their friend. Again, he takes on the position of a servant. He humbles himself down onto his knees. He begins to wash all of their feet, and then he heads to Peter. But before he could even start, Peter pushes back and says this in verse 6. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replies to him by saying this, Peter, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. But here's the thing about Peter. He refuses again and he says, no, you shall never wash my feet. And some people may be wondering, thank you, why doesn't Peter act like the other 11? Why doesn't Peter fall in line? If Jesus is telling you something, why don't you just do it? But see, that's the very point. He's Jesus. And Peter isn't denying this act of service because he's disobedient. He's not denying this act of service because he's dumb. He's saying no because he knows all too well who Jesus is. And he's saying, Jesus, the one that I call rabbi, the one that I call my teacher, the one who I called Messiah a couple chapters before this, the one that's changed my life, that same Jesus is going to wash my feet? No. There's no way. And I don't blame Peter one bit, because he probably believes he's unworthy of this treatment. Because how could someone so pure, how could someone so holy wash my feet? Wash the dirtiest part of my body. If anything, I should be washing his feet. And so he tells him, you shall never wash my feet. And if you read this in the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, never means never, never. I know that sounds silly, but never means never, never, meaning it will never, ever, 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 ever happen. Kind of like me diving into the deep ocean, okay? I'm afraid of the deep ocean, so I'm never gonna be that guy right there. Oh gosh. This is my biggest fear. You wanna know why? Because I don't know what the heck is going on down here. That baby's just chilling. I'm mad at those parents. How could you do that to that baby? You will never find me in deep water. What is our series called? I don't know, and I don't care who tells me to go into deep water, I'm not going. If Pastor Dudley calls me and says, listen, Derek, listen. I need you to go into the deep waters. You had to promote this series. No. If my feet can't touch the ground, you will not see me there, okay? Never. Just like you'll never see me wear a Patriots jersey. Look at these losers. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. You guys see the one Dolphin fan back there? That's me. When Anthony was saying, any Dolphins fans? I was like, no! We looked. Miss Coco, be nice. You'll never, never, never catch me in deep waters, and you'll never, never catch me wearing a Patriots jersey. I'm patriotic, but I'm not wearing those colors. And as dramatic as that sounds, Peter was committed to not letting Jesus clean him. But the thing is, Peter couldn't see the full picture. Maybe he was too ashamed. Maybe he believed he could do it himself. But then Jesus looks at him and says this, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And I don't know about you, but if the Savior of the universe is saying that, you should probably listen, right? So Peter gives in. And Peter's like, fine. But here's the thing, he goes to the opposite extreme. And he says this in verse 9, then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And poor Peter, everyone say poor Peter. He still doesn't get it. How many of you feel like Peter sometimes? I find the older that I get, the more I feel like Peter. And a part of me kind of feels bad for Peter because I see where he's going with this. He doesn't want to be wrong. And he realizes how important life with Jesus is. And he doesn't want to do the wrong thing. And he wants to continue to follow Jesus well. He wants to continue to be faithful. And I don't blame him because look where his life has been in these last 3 years. Because before Jesus, he was just another fisherman. Before Jesus, he was a student that no rabbi picked. Before Jesus, he was a nobody. And then because of Jesus, now he's a fisherman of men. Because of Jesus, he has a rabbi. Because of Jesus, he's somebody. And he's seen just how much being around Jesus has not only changed his status, but it's changed his heart. And he's scared. He's scared to be without Jesus. And so he basically says, wash everything. Wash everything if it means that I get to be with you. Yeah, Peter was crazy. Peter was brash. Peter was the typical sailor. He was obnoxious, but what he loved the most was Jesus. And I pray the same thing can be said about you. And so he finally lets Jesus wash his feet. And he says this to Peter as he's doing it. He says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet because their whole body is clean and you are clean, though not every one of you. And so not only is Jesus washing the faithful like Peter and John, but then he turns his attention to Judas. And man, does that speak volumes. Because he didn't just come to serve the faithful. He didn't just come to serve the righteous. He didn't just come to serve the nice church people, right? He came to serve everyone. And if you don't believe me, let's recall what happens earlier in the story. In verse 2, Christ knew that Judas's plan was to betray him. It says this: the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And again, Jesus already knew it. And really quickly, I want us to note that the devil prompted Judas. He didn't force Judas. Judas was not overridden by the devil, but his will was aligned with what the devil wanted. And he did what was already in his heart. Shepherd Church, I pray that you notice that there's a spiritual battle that goes on. And I know here in America, we don't like to think about those things, but there's a spiritual battle that goes on. And if you don't check your heart from time to time, don't be surprised when you're not in line with Jesus. But let's get back to Jesus and Judas. And I want you to do something for a moment. Can everyone close their eyes? Everyone close their eyes and put your hands out. You can keep it at your palms. You don't have to raise them up. I'm sorry, I'm a bad teacher now, I guess. Keep it by your legs. And I want you to imagine holding the feet of your betrayer. I want you to imagine holding the feet of your betrayer and imagine locking eyes with him, knowing that they'd lie to you. Imagine touching them, knowing they hurt you. Imagine cleaning them, knowing that they'd leave a mark on you. And Jesus was willing to lock eyes with Judas. And Jesus was willing to hold Judas in a vulnerable state. And Jesus was willing to offer him light, knowing he was filled with darkness. You can open your eyes. Is Jesus good? He's too good. And he's better than me. And he's the reason why I can't be the savior of my own story. But what I love about Jesus is that he knows who you are. I don't know you. I know some of you. But Jesus knows who you are. He knows your intentions. He knows how ugly your mess is, how unworthy you might be. And then he still looks at you and says, give me your feet. Give me your mess. Give me your brokenness and let me serve you. Let me serve you because only I have the power to truly change you, to truly clean you, to truly save you. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is a faithful friend, amen? He's faithful. A friend who offers humility when faced with pride, a friend who offers forgiveness when faced with pain, and a friend who offers love when faced with loss. And I believe that this action from Jesus raises the bar. Jesus raises the bar, and he raises the bar for what a friend is supposed to look like. And I know that on my own, I can't live up to that. On my own, I can't love my enemies. On my own, I can't be the better man. But what I do know is that Jesus has given me his spirit, and his spirit lives within me, and his spirit will help me to be more like him. Coming to church is not learning how to be better. Coming to church is learning about how to love Jesus more. Because when you love Jesus more, things change, amen? Jesus practices what he preaches, and what he preaches is love. What he preaches is grace. What he preaches is faithfulness. And so what do we do about this? What do we do about this unconditional love? What do we do about this amazing friendship? Well, I think it's this. Layer number 3, serve one another. Everyone say serve one another. Jesus' last words from our story is this in verse 12. We serve one another. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, he says it again, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be Shepherd Church, you will be blessed if you do them. So what do we do next? Well, we follow Jesus's example. We follow Jesus's example, and we follow this example because he laid out the perfect blueprint. And what he's shown us with his life is what God has always wanted for us. God wants you to live in joy, and part of that joy comes from putting others above yourself. God wants you to live in freedom, and part of that is forgiving others when it's hard. God wants you to live in fulfillment, and part of that is serving even when the reward at first seems small. And through his life, the example is laid out, the example is poured out, but will you follow it? Raise your hand if you want to be like Jesus. I know I do. That's the greatest success in life. And some of us, we want to be like Jesus, but we don't want to serve because it takes too much time. And some of us, we want to be like Jesus, but we don't want to get on two knees because it's uncomfortable. And some of us, we want to be like Jesus, but we don't want to touch dirty feet because then our hands are dirty too. And some of us want to be like Jesus, but you don't want to be hurt because you know people are broken. Friends, he's washed our feet. Amen? He's washed our feet. He served us. But whose feet are you washing? Where have you laid down your pride? And you know what hurts my heart the most? Is of the thousands of people that come to this church, less than 20% of the people do the work. And less than 20% of the people lead. And less than 20% of the people find courage to serve. It's not because they're superheroes that they're doing it. I think they do it because they counted the cost. And they understand that the reward Jesus has for them is greater than whatever they're sacrificing. Jesus practices what he preaches, but do you practice what he's preached? Because when you are willing to sacrificially serve like Jesus, you will be blessed. When you choose to serve, when you choose to lay your life down, when you choose to put others before you, you will be blessed. And that is not a guess, that is not wishful thinking, that is a promise that our promise keeper wants to give us. He says it again. Now that you know these things, Shepherd Church, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants to use you. He wants to see you step out in love, and he wants to see you step out in faith. But do you trust him? Do you trust him? I love what it says in Romans 10:15. It says how beautiful. You want to know something beautiful? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And part of bringing the good news is embodying it with your life. Some of you are scared to serve, and I get that. And you're scared to serve because you don't think you're good enough. And you don't think you're qualified. And I get that, and I hear you. And that's the number one thing we hear at this church, but I want you to know it's not true. And it's not because I know you, but it's because I know who lives within you. Because I know the same spirit that worked through Jesus lives in you if you have the faith for it. And I know the same spirit that worked through his disciples to start the early church lives in you. And I know the same spirit that uses me for his glory lives in you too, but do you believe it? I remember, I'll never forget, I used to sit right over here when I was a junior in high school, and I used to always think I could never preach the gospel. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. I have a fear of public speaking. I'm not bald enough. You know what my mom told me when I told her all those things? She said, then son, do it scared. And that's how I live my life. You think I'm confident up here? I'm scared backstage. You think I'm confident when I'm talking to my high schoolers when they have deep problems? No. I do it scared, but I also know I don't do it alone. For Jesus lives in you, amen? And what I love the most about Jesus, what I love the most about Jesus is, yes, his faithfulness, but what I love about Jesus is Jesus never asks you to do something he hasn't already done. Jesus has never asked you to do something he hasn't already done. How many of you hate when people tell you to do something and you know they're not gonna do it? I tell my friend Kate, she's the one that the blonde that was leading worship at the end. I always say, Kate, can you do this for me? Because I don't wanna do it. But that's not Jesus, okay? What I love about Jesus is he never calls you to do something he hasn't already done. And layer number four is this. You do not understand now, but one day you will. You do not understand now, but one day you will. And I want us to read verse 7 again, if we can. And this is when Jesus is talking to Peter. And again, he says, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later, Peter, you'll understand. And again, Peter didn't get it. All he sees is his current circumstance. All he feels is embarrassment and guilt. But what he does not see and what he does not understand, though, is Jesus is trying to show him something more. Friends, I want you to know Jesus is always trying to show you something more. Jesus didn't just clean them because they were dirty. Yes, they were dirty. Yes, it was part of the custom. But Jesus did this to show them what he was going to do hours later. He was trying to show them that the one who washed your feet today will one day wash your sins away. The one who washed your feet today will one day wash your sins away. And this foot washing, it mirrors the cross in so many ways. And I say this because the towel and the cross are the same symbols. They really are when you look at it. I'm sorry I don't have a towel up here with me. But the towel and the cross, it's the same symbol. Because they both are a symbol of humility. They both are a symbol of sacrifice. They both are a symbol of service. They both are a symbol of God's love for you. And they both are a symbol to show you that God desires to have a relationship with you, whether you believe you're worthy or not. And as we saw earlier, Peter says, never, Lord, never will you wash my feet. And he denies the cleanse, but then Jesus says to him, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And I love what Pastor Dudley said this weekend. He said, if you don't allow me to deal with the dirt that is in your foot, how can you ever allow me to deal with the dirt that's in your heart? And what he's saying here is, Peter, unless I clean you, Shepherd Church, unless I clean you, unless I remove the dirt and the stain of sin from your life, you can never be clean and you can never be saved. And your own efforts to try and save yourself, the metaphorical soap that you think you're using to make you better, it doesn't work. But what does work, what does transform, what does change is Jesus. God wants to clean you. God wants to heal you. But even more than God, more than that, God wants to show you that you're unconditionally loved by him. And what they didn't understand is that this was Jesus's last night. They didn't understand that. And he wanted to leave them with a reminder that he's going to love them to the end. What they didn't understand is that the Passover they celebrated was simply a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do for them later. Israel was delivered from the chains of Egypt, and we are delivered from the chains of sin. The blood of a perfect lamb is what saved the Israelites, and the blood of the lamb is what saves us. What they didn't understand is that Christ was going to wash them again, but not with water, but with his blood. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Friends, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one. And over time, as you spend time with Jesus, dirt and sin fall off. He loves you. And he doesn't care who you are. And he doesn't care what you've done. And he doesn't care if you'll struggle after he cleans you. What he wants is you. And some of you are thinking, yeah, Derek, but that's just too good to be true. And you're right. It's too good. But it's also so true. And I know it to be true because he washed the feet of Judas, his betrayer. I know that to be true because he washed the feet of Peter, his denier. I know that to be true because he washed the feet of Thomas, his doubter. And I know that to be true because he washed all of their feet knowing that they wouldn't be with him when he was on a cross by himself. And maybe some of you, you don't want to let Jesus into your heart or your life because you feel like you're unworthy or you think he's too good for you. Some of you feel gross. Some of you feel like you're too gross for Jesus. That's what I would bang on my chest when I would take communion as a kid. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I'm gross. I want you to know that he's waiting with a towel and a basin in his hand, wanting nothing more than to be with you. Some of you feel unworthy. I want you to know that he invites you to his table, wanting nothing more than to be with you. Some of you feel too far from God and feel like there's no hope. I want you to know that he stands on the cross and he's bridged the gap between you and him, wanting nothing more than to be with you. One of my favorite verses is the very first verse, John 13, 1. And he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I didn't realize this until now, but when John writes this, he's acknowledging that Jesus was going to choose to love them and choose to serve them no matter what they decided to do to him. Jesus practices what he preaches. And as I close, I just want to share one last story. There was an author by the name of Brennan Manning, and he has an amazing story of how he got his name. And while growing up, his best friend, Ray, was, there were two peas in a pod. That was his best friend. That was his homie. And the two of them did everything together. They bought a car together. They did double dates together. They went to school together. And then eventually they enlisted in the army together. And both of them side by side, they struggled with one another. And both of them side by side fought in the front lines. And one night while sitting in a foxhole, Brennan was reminiscing about the old days in Brooklyn while Ray was listening and eating a chocolate bar. And then suddenly a live grenade went into the foxhole. And Ray looked at Brennan and he smiled and he hopped on top of the grenade. And that day Ray died and Brennan's life was spared. And years later, Brennan found Jesus and decided to be a priest. And they asked him, I need you to take a name of a saint. And so after thinking, he decided, I'm gonna choose the name Brennan for my dear friend, Ray Brennan. And years later, he went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn and they were sharing some tea. And then one night, he looked at his mom, he looked at Ray's mom. And he says, do you think Ray loved me? Mrs. Brennan, do you think that Ray loved me? And Mrs. Brennan got up from the couch and he shook her finger in his face. And she said, what more could he have done for you? What more could he have done for you? And Brennan said that at that moment, he imagined himself standing before the cross of Jesus, looking at Jesus, and said, do you really love me? Are you really for me? Are you really with me? Am I really worth it? And he said he imagined Mary, his mom, looking at him and said, what more could he have done for you? John 13, 1 says this, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You wanna know the beautiful thing about Jesus? There is no end with him. And so that's a promise that he will love you forever. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to be your friend. He's called you to something greater than yourself. And when you don't understand it, just know that he's with you. Just know that he loves you. And just know that he's for you. Please don't ever doubt if Jesus loves you. And again, if you have a hard time, will you look no further than the cross? Because he chose to give absolutely everything to know and to show you how much you're loved by God. And all God's people said, amen. I love you all so much. And I want you to know that as a church, we're here for you and we love you and we want to partner alongside of you. And so after the service over here, we're gonna have some decision counselors. And if some of you need prayer, will you please go get some prayer? You're not as strong as you think. I want you to know that. And if some of you want to get baptized, maybe some of you, you felt compelled by the message and you want to finally give your life to Jesus, I want you to know that we can baptize you right now. Can we celebrate that next week we're going to baptize almost 25 people next Thursday after service? You don't have to wait for next week. You can do it right now. And we'll gladly do that for you. I'd love for you all to stand with me as I pray for you. And really quickly, I'm silly. I'll tell you, I'm a bad teacher. But if you're a teacher, if you stood up earlier, I want you to know that we have a gift for you and we want to give it to you on the outside. So go ahead and find my friend Ruby. But let me pray for you. Bow your heads. Father in heaven, I thank you so, so much. And I thank you for this day that you've given us. And I thank you for your unconditional love. And I thank you for John chapter 13. Because I think besides the cross, that is the greatest thing you've ever done. And Jesus, I know that there's friends in this room right now that don't believe that they're worthy, that believe that they're gross, that believe that they're dirty, that believe that they're far apart from you. And Jesus, will you help them to know that that's not true? Will you help them to know that you do the same thing for them that you did for your friends in that room? And so Jesus, I don't know where my friends are in their faith, Lord, but I pray that day by day, you would grow them in their faith. I pray that day by day, they would lean on your spirit that has never failed us once. Jesus, thank you. Help us to be more like you. We can't do it by ourselves, but I thank you that you've given us your spirit. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. But most importantly, Jesus, we trust you. And it's in your name we pray these things, Jesus. Amen. I love you all. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening to the SYA podcast. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram @WeAreSYA.